from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Broadcasting from the pulpit of sports radio in Boston, it's Sunday Mass with Christian Arcan on WEEI.
You mentioned that it would be nice to see Drake with the first team offense. What's holding you back from that right now?
Jacoby. You know, right now he's our starting quarterback. So, you know, the good news is this week we'll get to play everybody. You know, we're still in the evaluation process. We have one more preseason game, and our guys are going to play, so we'll have another chance to evaluate.
Alex Van Pelt, Sunday Mass rolls on here on this Sunday morning. Nice to have you with us here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. I'm Reverend Arcan. Jacob Lassner back there behind the glass. I'll be taking your phone calls at 617-779-7937. And running a nice tight board today as you're getting all the cuts that you need here. And wow, this has gotten worse. This situation in the background here with my microphone,
It really sounds like we're at the beach now.
It really, really does now. I mean, this is now. Maybe I should move over to another microphone. I think I'll do that. Maybe I'll do that in the next segment. Either way, apologies there. That was just because I was so upset about the... You know what? Forget it. Let's do it right now. I'm going to move to another station right now, live on the air, because I feel like I am doing my audience a disservice here by having this thing in the background. So let's see if this has affected all the microphones or just the one that I'm on right now. I'm going to move one space over here, and let's see if that changes anything. All right? We're going to do this live on the air. Here we go. Shutting this mic off now.
So Arcan is getting up right now. He's unplugging his headphones. He is moving to his usual chair. He is plugging in his headphones, getting ready. Oh, he's got his mic cover on. All right. Oh, he forgot something. He has to run back. He forgot. Oh. All right. We're back.
How's this?
Yeah, better.
All right, good. So it's only the most important station in the most important workstation and microphone station in the entire studio here that I ruined. Now we now see it's just that one microphone. So hopefully we can get our crack squad of IT people and engineers in here to get that fixed before the debut of a brand new show on the station tomorrow. Sorry. Jones and Keith, if you're listening, I apologize in advance for sabotaging your show. Hillman, you're probably going to be in there next. You're going to be sitting at that thing there before they are. I apologize to you as well. I was upset about Jeremy Swayman, and I pounded the table a little bit. I did not realize that we had a table that was unable to take a pounding, is what it seems like. Anyways, where was I? Oh, yes, Alex Van Pelt. That was Alex Van Pelt speaking there in that clip you just heard. What's the one thing in the way of Drake May starting? It's Jacoby Brissett. He's our starting quarterback. He's going to start tonight, as the Patriots finish off the preseason now with the Washington Commanders before we get to the games that count. This is weird now. I have my back to you. I feel weird. Like, I'm just, you're behind me now. I could go over and sit in the other spot, but I don't like that spot. I feel like I'm cornered over there. You know, at least this way I can get up and move around if I need to. I feel like you're, you know, trapped in the corner over there. I don't like that. I don't like that sin.
And you're used to that spot as well.
That too. This is my home where I'm sitting right now. And I'll try not to get too emotional about anything else, because clearly our equipment cannot handle it. It's not like I hit the microphone, right?
No, the table can't handle the passion.
It was just the table. It's a wooden table. I just, you know, smacked the table. I better not do that again, honestly. But, like, I smacked the table, and all of a sudden, we're on Miami Beach. Anyways. Who's making this call at quarterback? Is it Alex Van Pelt? Is Alex Van Pelt the guy in charge? He's the only one that speaks assertively about it. Have you noticed that? Whenever anybody asks Gerard Mayo a question about the quarterback, he's like, well, you know, I mean, We like Drake May. Jacoby's got, I don't know why he's Jerry Seinfeld is on. We like Drake May. But Jacoby Brissett is the starter. And then when Van Pelt, can we just play that clip again? Just listen to Van Pelt. What's standing in the way? Jacoby, he's our starting quarterback. Okay. Well, that's decisive. That's on the nose. That's a direct answer to a direct question. Gerard Mayo, God love him, just talks in circles. You know, you ask him a question, he'll start talking, and by the time you get to the end, he's answered it three different ways that all contradict each other. And you're just like, okay.
Jacoby, you know, right now he's our starting quarterback.
Okay.
So, you know, the good news is this week we'll get to play everybody.
So there you go. That's what's in the way. Jacoby Brissett, our starting quarterback, is in the way of this guy that you want to start. Any other questions? Anybody else want to know? That's why I think it's fair to call into question who's making this move. Who's got the agency to make this call at starting quarterback? Do you want it to be Gerard Mayo, Patriots fans? Is that something that moves the needle for you one way or the other? Does it matter to you if the head coach is not the one picking the starting quarterback for week one, even if he's the one who ends up rubber stamping it? If he's not the one that has the autonomy to make a decisive statement like Van Pelt just did right there, or doesn't feel like he does, or maybe, and this is my theory, doesn't even want to. Gerard Mayo acts like he doesn't even want to pick a quarterback, right? Like, you know, they ask him these questions about it, and he's like, well, it's going to be a collaborative decision with me and Alex and Ben McAdoo and all these other people in the offense, all these other coaches that we have, and not to mention ownership, who I think is going to have a big say in all of this. I think it's really going to come down to when they want May to be out there. And I'm not sure if they have a strong feeling about it right now or not. If any of the Crafts want to call in, Robin Glazer wants to call in and tell me how they feel about it, that's great. Phone lines are open at 617-779-7937. But right now, I feel like they're sort of waiting in the wings, biding their time. And when they feel like it's time to intervene, they will do so. This isn't the Belichick era anymore. In the Bill Belichick era, ownership only really stuck their nose in things a handful of times over 20-plus years, which is remarkable if you think about it. I mean, really, that's kind of amazing for any NFL team, let alone, you know, a team run by the Crafts, who, I'm sorry, are not necessarily hands-off guy. They were hands-off when Belichick was here because Belichick ran this whole place. You know, he was the grand poobah. It all went through him. You want something done, Bill's going to know about it. You know, like, bad analogy maybe, but Paterno at Penn State for all those years. Like, anything that happened on that campus, anything that happened with any of those players, any of those coaches, anything, he knew about it. Belichick, same thing, you know, like, he was in charge of all of that. He was the GM. I mean, everything flowed through him. And that is not the case anymore. And I'll tell you what else. I don't think the crowd, we saw it in the Dynasty. We just watched it in a 10-part miniseries. I don't think the Crafts would have ever given him that much autonomy if they didn't start winning right away. If they didn't win those first three out of five, whatever it is, your Super Bowls with Bill Belichick, then there is no way he would have ever gotten that much trust and given that much agency on a team, on any team, really, but certainly not on a team owned by these guys. And this was all, you know, almost 30 years ago now. So 25 years ago, at the very least. So, I mean, we're talking about a new league, a different team, a different everything. And now the Patriots have this real prestige behind the name, behind their name and behind the franchise and everything else. Second most valuable franchise in the NFL behind the Cowboys. And that is not by accident. The Crafts did not build that whole thing down there because they were just a team in the NFL. They built it all because they were the standard in the NFL. And they had that fan base eating out of the palm of their hands. And I don't know that that's the case anymore. I think right now the Patriots fans in general are looking at this team with a lot of well-deserved skepticism. Well, what are you doing here? Are you bringing a rookie quarterback? Fine. It wasn't going to last forever with Brady. We know that. It wasn't going to last forever with Belichick either. Who are you replacing him with? And what are you doing to set them up for success? That's a very fair question to ask about Drake May. Whether you wanted him to be the guy they picked or not, he's the guy they have. What have you done to make him successful? What have you done as an organization, as a director of personnel, as anything, really, to make Drake May's transition from, you know, a guy who didn't play a lot in college, a young kid, to the franchise quarterback of the New England Patriots, the second most valuable team in the league? What's the answer to that? I don't think there's much of one. The best receiver you went out and got for him in free agency was KJ Osborne. Or no, not KJ Osborne. Yeah, no, it was KJ Osborne. And you drafted Jalen Polk and also Baker in the fourth round. But Polk was the, you know, sort of high-end receiver that you ended up getting. And maybe he'll end up being very good. Maybe Baker will end up being very good. Maybe Osborne will end up being very good. Who knows? But were those the type of moves that screamed high-end talent? Did any of those moves knock your socks off? Do you think Drake May was sitting there going, you know, Calvin Ridley would have been nice. Brandon Ayuk would have been nice. T. Higgins would have been nice. But hey, Jalen Polk and KJ Osborne, you know, like I'm sorry. And that's not even addressing the tackle situation. I mean, it's like Chukwuma Okorafor, Caden Wallace, couple of right tackles, one of them who got beat out by a rookie last year in Pittsburgh, and the other one who wasn't even a left tackle in college. And those are your guys, you know, like that to me does not scream an organization that is doing all they can to set up their young quarterback for success. And Patriots fans have every right to be skeptical about that. Frankly, I don't really care if Jerod Mayo has much say in who the quarterback is, because I don't think that he cares to have it. I don't think that this setup right now is one that involves him being very hands-on with the offense. And why not? Well, because he learned how to be a head coach from Bill Belichick. And Bill Belichick was hands-off with the offense until he wasn't. And then when he was, things got much worse. So I guarantee you, Mayo looked at that. Mayo's a guy who I think has learned a lot from all the people that he's coached with. In the corporate world, I think he's a smart guy, and I think he absorbs a lot of things. He probably looked at what Belichick did and said, I'm not getting the hand. I don't know anything about offense. I was a linebacker, then I was a linebacker's coach. I've never even been a defensive coordinator. I'm going to stick with the defense. That's going to be my thing. I'm going to be a defensive-minded head coach, and my offensive coaches are going to be running the offense, and that's the way it is. That's how it was with Bill with Josh McDaniels. That's how it was with Bill O'Brien. That's how it was with Bill, basically all his offensive coordinators over the years, with a couple of exceptions. One big one being, Patricia and Judge. And even last year, O'Brien, the second time around, too. I think that Bill got a little more involved there than he was planning to be anyway, just because things have gotten so foobar. But, you know, this is who Mayo learned from. This is the only place Mayo's ever been. It's not like he's worked in other organizations and seen the way that offensive-minded head coaches run things. He doesn't know anything about that. All he knows is about what Bill did. And Bill was very hands-off when it came to that offense. And he could be, because Tom Brady was there. And you can just let Tom Brady do his thing, not really get too involved yourself. Let him and McDaniels or him and whoever, Charlie White, whoever the offensive coordinator happened to be at that time, let them do their thing, work on the offense, you check in on it, rubber stamp it at the end for the game plan, and then you go out there and you win 6 Super Bowls and rinse, repeat. And I just think Jerod Mayo is assuming it's going to go like that. And, you know, you're missing one key element of all that, unfortunately. Not even to mention the fact that your offensive coordinator is calling plays for the first time. He was not in the top 10 of your choices. You'd interviewed him way, way after you'd interviewed all these other people that turned you down. And this is just my personal opinion, but Drake May is a guy who I think is, very, very unseasoned, very raw. He's looked good against backups, but I think when it comes time to go out there against the starters on an NFL team, the combination of his inexperience, a shaky offensive line, and wide receivers that are just, I'm sorry, you know, not a group that you feel any sort of confidence about, that's going to lead to a tough rookie season. But you know what? That's what it is. That's what happens when you suck. That's what happens when you suck. You get a rookie quarterback in there, and they have a tough rookie season. Sometimes a team gets better. Sometimes they get worse. I gave you the last 10 years worth of rookie quarterbacks. Generally, you get at least a game better. And for the Patriots, that means winning 5 games this year. Is that realistic? I guess we'll find out. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Let's go ahead and take a break here. When we come back, we'll be joined by Tom King of the Nashua Telegraph. Look forward to talking with him. And we'll take a deeper, closer look, I should say, at the Patriots draft class and where everybody sort of looks right now, where everybody's kind of rounding into form from all these players on offense, the one defensive player that they ended up drafting. We'll get to all of that. We'll do a deep dive on that and talk to Tom King right after Jacob tells.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Let's see what's trending. On some level, I kind of feel for the guy. I don't love the way he's been sort of talking in circles, answering all these questions, but I do kind of, I get it. He's tired of having to hear about this, or these quarterback questions. The same question every day. Who's going to start? Why him? What about Drake? What if this happens? Then are you going to start Drake? What if this happens? What about Joe Milton? Blah, 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 blah. You know, like, it's just, it's been very kind of repetitive. I think we all know, I was about to say we all know the answer, but we don't know the answer. We know the answer that they've been giving, which, as you just heard, Alex Van Pelt has certainly been more decisive on it than Gerard Mayo has. But you can hear him. He's like, oh, good, another quarterback question. Oh, you just tied up two questions into one question. I know what you're doing there. And it's like, yeah, I get it. You're annoyed by this. We're all sort of annoyed by it, Gerard. Like, it's an annoying situation to be in, especially since we all just want to see the kid go in. Everybody wants to see the kid start. I don't know that there's anybody who's really pumped up for the Jacoby Brissett era to begin here in New England. And that's not even really a reflection on Jacoby Brissett. I think that Brissett was brought in to be something specific. He understands what he's brought here for. He understands that they drafted somebody with the third overall pick. He's not stupid. Jacoby Brissett's been in the league a little bit. He knows what's going on here. All right. And he also knows that he has an opportunity to go out there and try and take the starting job and keep it. And that's something that he's, you know, he's going to do. If he goes out there and plays great against the Bengals and they win and he has like 300 yards and two touchdowns, then Drake May better get used to sitting on that bench for a while. If Brissett shows that he's capable of doing something like that in week one, which, by the way, Jacob, have you heard anybody anywhere even begin to suggest that Jacoby Brissett may end up winning the starting job? Not that they're going to start him, but that he's going to play well enough that he wins the job.
No.
I haven't heard anyone say that. I haven't heard a coach say that. I haven't heard a talking head say that. I haven't heard a beat writer say that. No one has said that because no one expects that to happen.
Solid backup, but he's just not good. No, like, nobody really expects him to be good enough to win the starting job.
Right. It's really more of a question of, is Drake May ready to take it from him? And he should be. He should be ready for that. If that game last Thursday was any indication, I'd say he's ready right now. And then there's the reverse of that, is the other side of that coin, which is Drake May ready or is Brissett just not good anymore? You know, like, if he was ever good, is Brissett just too much of a liability to put out there that you have to put out Drake May, that you have to start him? Because if it's Brissett and he's out there throwing interceptions in the end zone and, you know, everything else that we've seen so far in the preseason, is that something that's going to drive fans away? Yes. Yes, it is. Absolutely, it is. You are going to see fans selling their tickets. You are going to see fans not showing up at Gillette. You are going to see fans not tuning in on Sundays. If it's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks or whatever of Jacoby Brissett going out there and playing like Mac Jones did last year. Because at least last year, there was something, you know, at the very least, it wasn't much. But you had that one Bills game, which we went over, you know, it seemed like, okay, they started off 1-5, they beat the Bills, maybe they're going to build off of this a little bit, and then things just completely spiraled out of control. Put in Zappe, which a lot of people wanted to see. Come on, put in Zappe, enough with Mac Jones, Zappe's the guy. Zappe stunk too. And they all stunk, the whole team stunk. And people stopped caring. People stopped tuning in, people stopped really giving a crap. And what have you done to sort of pull the fans up out of that mindset? You draft a quarterback 3rd overall. Quarterback that people are excited about. Not me specifically. I wasn't excited about bringing a young quarterback into this situation. I feel like when I hear like friends of mine say they don't want to have kids, they're like, I don't want to bring a kid into this crazy messed up world. It's like, yeah, I don't want to bring a quarterback into this crazy messed up team. That's kind of how I feel about it, to extend that analogy. Like, it's, you know, like, this is no place for a young quarterback. This is no society for that. You don't want to bring with this offensive line and these wide receivers. No, thank you. I wouldn't want to put a baby through that. Like, okay. The 2024 rookie class, though, goes beyond just the quarterback. Jalen Polk has been impressive. He certainly has a spot in this wide receiver room. Caden Wallace, I would say, has been less impressive, but he is a tackle, so I would imagine that you are going to be seeing him somewhere in the mix of this tackle rotation. There's Laydon Robinson, who was drafted by the Patriots in the 4th round, who no one talks about. He was drafted before Javon Baker. He's another offensive lineman. He's a guard in college, I think, out of Texas A&M. No one talks about this guy. Because at guard, they're pretty well stocked. Javon Baker's had his ups and downs. He's fallen down the depth chart after initially impressing people. They got the kid Marcel Dial out of South Carolina, who is the only defensive player they got. Joe Milton, who's your third quarterback, and Jaheim Bell, the tight end, out of Florida State. Florida State, yuck. Yuck last night. I had a feeling they were going to lose that game. Won a little money off it, so pat myself on the back. But boy, Seminoles, that was an ugly, ugly start to the year. Anyway, that kid Bell may end up getting some reps at tight end because everybody else got hurt. And here with more on that is my friend and yours. He writes for the Nashua Telegraph, covering the Patriots. He's been down there at Gillette for a lot of these preseason games, a lot of camp. He also runs basically the entire sports department up there at the Telegraph. He's a one-man show, and he's the oldest man in the world. I'm talking, of course, about Tom King, who joins us right now. Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Good, Reverend. How are you?
I'm doing well.
And being a veteran, being an old man, I support the veteran, and I support Jacoby Brissett to start the season.
Is that right? Now, is that just a solidarity between two old fellas, or do you have football reasons for that, too?
Well, I remember when Jacoby was a young fella, so right. Yeah, it's kind of solid. It's kind of that solidarity. But, you know, look, I think people, I'm tired of it. I really am. I you know, you made the comment about, you know, Gerard Mayo dealing with the same Drake May questions every day, and we see and we hear and we listen to the same debate every day. Look, the reason that they are going slowly with May, for one thing that people forget about, is he hasn't played a lot of football.
Right.
All right. He didn't play his senior year in high school because of COVID. He only played 2 years of really solid, you know, full solid college football. So he's got a lot to learn, and you want to throw him into the NFL. You know, we're not talking about a team that's looking to get, you know, that's playoff ready or Super Bowl ready here. Far from it. So take their time. There's no rush. When they feel that this kid can handle everything, then that's when he'll play. But right now, their plan, and of course they always talk about quote unquote the plan. The plan was to bring him along slowly. Now, do they regret some of it? I don't think so. I really don't think so. But we are we all got pessimistic after the Carolina game and then the practices after that, and then we got excited when, you know, he put a ball and threaded the needle on a dime to Javon Baker, the touchdown maker, who didn't make anything because he dropped it. And that has started, you know, and now May has gotten more confidence. Well, that's natural. He's going to get more confident. But I don't think all the factors, and they admitted that they don't want to put him behind a line that's not completely good. So let's see how things go. They are going week to week with this. They're not going, they're not going to say, okay, by this week, he's starting no matter what. They are going to take their time and see. Now, the debate on the flip side of that is, okay, now you're getting to the point where all of a sudden we're not playing practice games anymore. We're playing NFL games, regular season games, where your quarterback has to perform. And if he performs, the other guys sit. And Will May get stale sitting. So I'm curious to see how they handle all that. I think there's going to be a point in time where Jacoby Brissett will probably step aside. I mean, like you say, they know why they brought him in, but there are, you know, examples that everybody is, we live in the immediate age, the age of immediacy.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately that's ruined some quarterbacks, and, you know, May does not have.
Who'd it ruin, Tom? Now, really, like, who'd it really ruin in the last 10 years? There's not a lot of examples of guys that got totally ruined by starting right away.
I guess I go back further. David Carr, you know, when he was in Houston, a long time ago, an expansion team, they played him right away. He got, you know, sacked so many times. It was just ridiculous. I think that you just got to wait and see how things operate. Eli Manning. All right, let's go back to Eli Manning. Giants did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They brought in Kurt Warner, and they were actually an above 500 team. I think it was 9 games in, and then they put Eli Manning in. And Manning was terrible.
Yeah.
He didn't play well at all until the final regular season game against the Cowboys, and it clicked. But they were willing to go through that growing pain to develop the quarterback.
But why not develop him from week one on? Like, why wait till week nine if you want to develop him?
They don't want to see him get hurt. I think that's one thing. They don't want to see him get hurt behind a bad line. And they also just don't want his confidence shaken because he hasn't played a lot of football.
That's true. I mean, you're right. But, Tom, listen, C.J. Stroud played less games in college than Drake May. He got into the NFL and was great.
Right, and C.J. Stroud, really, I mean, I remember watching his first preseason game against the Patriots. It was awful.
It's true. He got his ass kicked.
It was 2 series, and then he was out, and that was it. I go, oh, my God.
Right, but did that kill his confidence? Did that ruin him going forward? No, it didn't. I mean, he recovered, and he dealt with the adversity, and he developed from it. He progressed and became a better player.
but he had a better team around him that nobody knew it was that good of a team, but he had a better team around him. So, well, you know, I think that the way they're doing it is probably the right way. And let them go that way and then see what happens.
All right.
And, you know, I don't disagree with it. I don't. I really don't. I think that, they have to develop and see what goes on. But I'm just glad that this preseason is going to be over with. Oh, my God.
I know. I'm so tired of this.
And oh, my God. I mean, I watched some of the Giant-Jet game last night. It was brutal. Mm. But the thing is don't be surprised with the offensive line if they go out and grab somebody, you know, because I think the Patriots are looking almost more than any other team at what gets who gets released in the next couple of days on Monday or Tuesday. And seeing some of these cuts, and then we'll see what they do.
Well, that's great.
Real,
I'm really excited to see him get aggressive in the scrap heap. You know, going down to the dump there and picking up these guys.
That's where you're at. That's where you're at. Okay, you know, you talked about the Red Sox before. The Red Sox and the Patriots are in the same philosophy
right now.
Okay, they really are.
Who's going to be their Rich Hill?
Draft and develop. My God, please no. Draft and develop. That's what the Patriots want to do because Bob Kraft saw that, A, Bill Belichick's draft picks stunk, and B, for the most part, and B, his free agent spending spree of 2021 did not produce. It produced a couple of good players, don't get me wrong. But it didn't produce the turnaround, the long-term success that he expected to have. So he has gone the other way. He's gun-shy about the big money players.
Well, really the last time they spent money, Tom, was the last time they were in the playoffs and the last time they looked like they had a competent quarterback running the offense there. So I would think he'd want to get back to that.
I said long-term success. What happened after that 1 year?
Well, they brought in Judge Patricia is what happened after that. Yeah, I don't think it was because of the money.
Well, it's also because of the performance. I mean, they didn't play very well. All right? I mean, coaches could coach, but, I mean, the players have got to play. You know, they've got to produce. And Mac Jones isn't here anymore.
No, he's tearing it up in Jacksonville, though.
Well, I think he's going to be tearing up the grass on that stadium because he's not going to be playing that much. He's just going to be hanging around. He'll be carrying a clipboard for a lot of the year unless there's an injury. That's how it looks. So, but, it's interesting. It really is. This is, you know, the one thing the fans and even the media don't realize, or they realize it, but they're not used to it. They've never been here before. Mm. Not the modern day fans. I've seen the Patriots when they were horrible.
Right.
But
you see the Patriots when they had leather helmets on.
Yes, exactly. Right.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, when you know, tackling was a major, wasn't a thing that anybody worried about because these guys just kept playing.
Well, sure. Younger fans like Jacob back here, I mean, they don't know anything else, but I'm 42. Like, I remember the Patriots being bad. I couldn't use the Patriots in Tecmo Bowl. Like, they were, you know, like, it was not, they were non grata. You didn't play with them in Madden for years until Bledsoe got there.
The Rod Russ. Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, that's the debate. I mean, Bill Parcells turned the franchise around.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just, you know, consistently, you know, went from there. But they're not used to all this. So it's going to take a lot of getting used to. But the bottom line is, you know, what has been the problem? What has been the main problem over the last 5 years? They haven't had the quarterback. They haven't had Tom Brady. And now they think they've got somebody. Right? They think they have somebody. But then they thought they had Mac Jones. And what happened?
Right.
So they are going to take a different view of this.
Okay.
That's why.
What do you think of the job Jerod Mayo's done so far, sort of on and off the field? How do you view him as a communicator, and how do you think he's connecting with the players so far?
I think he's connecting with the players. I think the players like him. I think he communicates with them pretty well. I think as far as the media goes, he's handling the media okay. He just has to be careful of some of the things he says. He's got to remember, okay, Jacoby's our starter, and then he says, well, we don't have a starter yet. You know, he's got to learn how to deal with that and remember what he says and try to be consistent in what he says. so not to throw everybody off. And I think that that's one of the things that Gerard Mayo has to learn. And the other thing that Gerard Mayo does that everybody is criticizing him for, and it drives me nuts, he's got an offensive staff. All right, when he says, it's going to be my decision, their decision, we're all going to talk about it. That's what he wants to do. He wants to rely on his assistant coaches a lot. And that's fine. That's what they're there for. And I don't disagree with that philosophy. So, in other words, yeah, defensive-minded coach isn't an offensive expert. But don't be fooled. If Gerard Mayo wants somebody to play and his assistant coaches don't, he's going to make his case and say, no, I think this guy's going to play.
All right.
And make it work.
Well, if that's the case, then.
That's how that works.
I know it is.
Yeah,
but
I mean, but we're not going to know. You don't judge him on preseason games and who plays and who doesn't. Let's see what happens when the bell rings.
Sure.
That's the main thing. When the bell rings, and even I wouldn't even judge him on 1 year. Okay, but let's see how he does when the bell rings. It's a learning curve for him. It's a learning curve for everybody. Fans, media, players, coaches with these New England Patriots. It's the start of a new era, and it's not going to start off with a parade or anything like that.
Well, not,
people have to get used to
no
that.
One's expected a parade, I don't think, Tom, but I think people would like to see a season that's not a painful trip to the dentist like last year's was. In that scenario, which I know it's sort of a grim one that I'm painting here, but in that scenario, how long do you think it would be until there's intervention from ownership on some level, whether it's a quarterback or in some other way?
Well, I think ownership is kept apprised constantly, more so than in the past. So I would say if Jacoby Brissett is not playing well, I think the coaches are smart enough to know that we better get May out there before we're told to get May out there. So I don't think that the owners are going to have to intervene. I think this coaching staff is smart enough to know what the owners want, and they're going to do it. So that's going to be my answer to that question.
Okay.
I really think that that's the case. I really think they keep them apprised all the time, more so than Bill Belichick did, because Bill Belichick really never had to do it. Bob Kraft had blind faith. If he questioned the decision that Belichick made, he says, "What? That's why I'm paying this guy. He's a Hall of Fame coach or future Hall of Fame coach. Could be sooner than we think now. And with the rule changes, but all of that."
And they were in the AFC Championship game every year, too, so there was nothing really to...
Right. So what's the question, right? What's the question? So this is a whole different deal, but I think owners, I think this group, including Elliott Wolf, they're smart enough to keep Bob Kraft and Jonathan Kraft in the loop.
All right. So, before we let you go here, final games tonight, it's not, I don't think, going to be a normal preseason week 3 type of game. Mayo's already basically said as much. He said anyone who's healthy is going to be playing in this game. How much of May do you think we're going to see? How much of the starters do you think we'll see? And what are you going to be looking for tonight?
Well, I'm going to be looking for exactly that, how long May plays. I'm also going to be looking for the other thing I'm going to be looking for, and this is a little bit off the beaten path, is what Milton and Zappe do. Because that's an interesting thing that nobody really talks about that much. What are they going to do with Bailey Zappe? My guess is he's going to get cut. And if he gets cut, you take a chance because you only have one veteran in that quarterback room with two rookies.
Mm-hmm.
And if that veteran gets hurt, then you got to go out and find somebody. So, and I don't go by what Joe Milton did in the preseason game against Carolina. Like, he's got all the physical tools, but he's not. He's more raw than Drake May is. So, in terms of all of that, what a quarterback needs to do in the NFL, you can't play, the runaround game. Does the Michael Bishop game doesn't work in the NFL, long term. So. What they're going to do there, I don't know. I'm going to be very curious to see that, more so than what happens in the game and how long they play. If Zappe plays a lot, then they're just trying to get him another look, even though he's got plenty of them already, for other teams to be able to sign him when he gets cut, or if they're able to. I don't think they'll be able to trade him for a seventh-round pick, but I'm not sure. But my guess is Bailey Zappe will be playing somewhere else. Last year he got cut. Nobody wanted him. This year, I think if he gets cut, somebody will sign him.
All right. Then we'll leave it right there. Tom King, thanks so much for the time today. Always good to talk with you, and we'll talk to you again this season.
Hi, Christian. Thanks for having me.
All right. That is the great Tom King of the Nashua Telegraph joining me here on Sunday Service. By the way, that was brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. Make it the best summer ever with Ford by joining the Bronco family or getting the made-for-you New England Edition F-150, official truck of the Boston Red Sox. Quick break. When we come back, it's fair season, ladies and gentlemen. My time to shine. Man, this music puts me in a good mood. Why is that? Why are you playing carnival music, Arcan? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because yesterday, I packed up the family. We live in Dedham. Hopped on 93 and went straight down to Marshfield. Check out the Marshfield Fair. Now, this is a fair I've been going to since I was a kid. It's a little different now. Down in Marshfield. When I was a kid, they used to have like horse races there. And that track's gone. They do like a demolition derby on the horse track now. But they still got the fairgrounds. They still got all the same stuff. There's like a concert stage. They do like a magic show. They still got all the rides, still got all the games. And when I tell you, listener, that there's no better season than fair season, I'm not kidding. I love going to fairs. I think in a past life, I was a carny. I think, you know, I just think that was, I can't really explain it, but I think that that was something that in my past life was a big part. And it's not, you know, it's not the most glamorous job in the world. I spent a lot of time talking to the workers down there, hanging out, sort of chatting with these guys. There's a couple of guys. My favorite worker at the fair every year is inevitably the guy who's in charge of the game where the beer bottles are upside down. You got to throw the baseball and try and break the beer bottle. You know what I'm talking about, Jacob? That's not the best game at the fair, but it's the coolest game. It's the coolest game to win. You know, anybody can throw a dart at a balloon. Those games are all, just throw a dart until you win something. Like, everybody wins a prize with the darts and the balloons. There's the pop a shot on those warped rims where they're like 50 feet up in the air and you're shooting from, you know, way, way down below. Which I'll get to that in a second because I dominate that. But nothing. I don't even know in the world. Nothing feels as good as when you whip a baseball at a beer bottle and smash that beer bottle all over the place. And then not only do you not get in trouble, they hand you a nice prize, which you can then hand to your, you know, young child or your girlfriend or your wife or whoever it is that you happen to be there with. Maybe you bring the girlfriend and the wife. You win them both a couple of stuffies. Whatever it is that that you're doing there. But that's the why. I mean, that's really it. The only thing that's close is the high strike, which is, if you don't know, it's the strength game where you get the big mallet and you smash it and you try and ring the bell. That, I've heard, is one of those games where they can rig it, you know, if they think you're acting too big for your britches, they can adjust it and make it harder to ring the bell or not ring the bell. But the thing that I do when I go to these fairs, I make a beeline right for the popper shot, right for the basketball hoop. And generally what they do, you pay $10 and you get 7 shots, or you can do like a shot for $2 or whatever it is. I usually give them the 10 and I take the 7 shots. And if you make one, you get to pick, you win like a rubber basketball or one of the small prizes. If you make two, then you get a big prize. Some of them even have like jerseys. You can win a jersey. And what I've learned, fair people, is that they put the jersey papa shot like deep into the fair. It's not near the entrance. The one near the entrance just has the generic stuffed animals. The one with the jerseys, you got to walk a little bit. You know, if you're going to the Marshfield Fair today, walk around, check it all out. There's always multiple basketball hoops, and there's only one that had jerseys, and it was way, way in. And I didn't even see it until we were leaving, and by then I'd already spent like however much I'd spent on playing that stupid game. But when I tell you, I filled the trunk of my car with the cheapest piece of crap stuffed animals you've ever seen in your life. From just, they see me coming. They see me walking up to the papa shot, and they're like, oh, no, we're closed. Oh, no, not him. There's going to be pictures of me up there. They're going to say, don't let him play. I'm putting these people out of business. That's how nice my jump shot is. And when I tell you, this is the season, all right? Topsfield Fair's coming up in October. There's the Sandwich Fair up in New Hampshire. It's also in October. This is the fall. This is when these things start. And the Marshfield Fair is the one that sort of opens it all up because it's the end of the summer. You're down there. I think today is the last day of the Marshfield Fair. So it's a nice day if you want to go. If you want to go on down there. It was very manageable yesterday. Crowd wasn't too big. It was hot. I was getting a little sweaty out there, you know, throwing those baseballs at the beer bottles. But ultimately, we had a great time. My son loved it. And there's really nothing. Nothing like having a big crowd around you. You know, there's people watching, kids watching. You get that basketball. No one ever makes those shots. Like I saw maybe one other person make a shot.
Even
the entire
Steph
time.
Can't make those shots.
Steph
Curry, saw that video.
Please, I mean, you know, Jason Tatum, Peyton. I bet you Peyton Pritchard's good at those.
Oh, definitely.
Pritchard. That seems like he's just, you know, he could shoot it from the Ferris wheel and probably make it in the popper shot, but. You know, in general, it's not an easy thing, except for me. I don't know why, but something about the height, something about the distance, something about the fact that they give you different weight basketball, that's another thing that they do. Don't let this get in your head, okay? Because they have like five different basketballs, and they're all different weights, all right? They're all different sizes. They all weigh different amounts. And that's on purpose to get you to, you know, not shoot it with as much power, too much power, whatever it is, too much force. So you got to keep that in mind, too. Not to mention the fact that the rim's like 20 feet in the air and it's all warped and bent. And even if you think you got a good shot going, you probably don't. For some reason, all of those factors, the wind, all that stuff, it's like in The Hangover. When Zach Galifianakis is at the blackjack table and all of a sudden he becomes like a math expert and he can, you know, read all the do all that stuff at the blackjack table. That's like me at the popper shot. All the elements, the height, the warped rim, the different sized basketballs, the wind, the crowd, the guy there going, all right, here's number one, here's number two, number three. That guy's trying to distract you too. Don't get it twisted. Those carnies are not your friends. They're trying to make you miss. They don't want you to win. Except maybe sometimes they do, then they get other people to come shoot, and then they lose their money. But it's not often you see that there on these popper shots. Do you enjoy going to fairs, Jacob? Is that something you're into or no?
It's never something that I thought about growing up in the city, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I always saw videos of people eating the food at the fairs, and I don't know, I'm into fried food. I feel like I would like that part of it.
If you're into fried food, let me tell you. I walked right into the Marshfield Fair. And the first thing I saw was this giant red building, basically. It's not even a building, but it's like a trailer, basically, that has this big sign all around. You know what it looks like at those fairs. And it just said mozzarella sticks. And every once in a while, I can feel myself being influenced by, like, advertisements. It's not often. A lot of times it happens subliminally. Sometimes it just happens, bam, like very, very not subliminally, very abruptly. I walked right up and I said, give me an order of mozzarella sticks right now. I need it more than I've ever needed anything in my life. And when I tell you those are the most delicious mozzarella sticks I've ever had, I'm not even kidding. Better than the Ground Round. And the Ground Round always had the best mozzarella sticks. Anyway, fair season. The best season there is. And nothing really gets me through the fall and makes me happier than going to a fairground, hitting a bunch of shots on the popper shot and leaving with a carload full of the crappiest stuffed animals you've ever seen in your life. Anyway, I just wanted to say that before we get to the bonus baseball that we have here. Normally with Sunday service, we go 3 hours. We're going over that for you folks because we're taking you right up to Red Sox baseball as the Sox trying to avoid a sweep at the hands of the Arizona Diamondbacks. That's all coming up here in just a moment. I'll have the pregame show for you as well. But first, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and get to some Red Sox thoughts next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.